good singing, good liberty. I appreciate that. I want to bring you a message tonight I feel like the Lord dealt with my heart about, that if we'll take heed to it, probably it might be the kickoff for the revival. I tried to go fishing this morning, preached to some sinners that needed to be saved, and I was fishing. I hope you knew that, trying to get some folks saved.
Amen.
Now, I want to try to preach to the church tonight, the Lord being my helper, and it's about 7:30 according to the clock on the wall back there. That don't mean anything, but that's what time it is. Amen. I'm not a clock-eyed preacher. I never. I usually preach 45 minutes. That's just the way I'm geared, I guess. So you don't time me tonight now and miss the message. But in Matthew's Gospel, I have enjoyed it, and I appreciate getting to meet Brother Luther. I pray for your family every day of your life, every day of my life. I pray for you every day. I guess you've been in Arizona, so I'm not bragging on that. But I have several preachers I pray for. I asked the Lord years ago if he would allow Pleasant View Baptist Church in South Carolina to support missionaries that I would pray for. And I'm not the pastor there anymore, but I never did change my praying. I just keep on praying for him. And I pray for you every day as well. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 15, you're going to have to listen to me tonight. I've never heard anybody preach exactly the message. Now, I don't have anything new, but I want you to look at a little different slant at a message God gave me here a while back. Verse 21. The Bible said, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman," I want you to behold her, "and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered," I think he's talking to the disciples in verse 24, "he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Does that sound like Jesus? I want you to listen. Here's a little woman comes up and tries to talk to him, and he said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." I was amazed when I read that 1,000 times at 43 years. Verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it eat unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If you'll stay with me, I want to do a little bit of exposition in those verses, and maybe the Lord will help us tonight. Father, Lord, I love you. Now, I want to thank you again for saving me by the grace of God. Now, I want to thank you for giving me a copy of your word, preserving it even to this generation. Thank you, Lord, for the church and allowing us to be a part of what you're doing in these last and perilous days. Lord, I'm keenly aware that I stand where no man would ever dare stand alone. So I pray the Holy Ghost might breathe upon me and touch me tonight. And Lord, illuminate my mind. I pray you touch my throat, that the voice, the sound might not be offensive tonight. And Lord, I pray you give a hearing ear to the Pleasant View Baptist Church and every one of your children that are here tonight. Should there be one that's not saved, I pray you'd save that soul tonight. But I pray you'd do a work in this church, and she'll never be the same as a result of being obedient to the Word of God tonight. We'll love you and thank you and praise you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to take my thought tonight. I may get you to run a verse or two with me, if the Lord will help me. It's hard for me to do that, to slow down and try to get folks to turn in their Bible. But here a while back, the Lord dealt with me about this text, and I want to take a thought out of verse number 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I mark great faith in verse number 28. And if the Lord will help me for a little while, then I want to preach on that subject, the subject of great faith. If we had time to go through the Bible, you'd find a whole lot of references, and I'm not a computer fanatic. As a matter of fact, I'm just about computer illiterate. But nevertheless, faith is referred to hundreds and hundreds of times in the lids of God's precious Word. And if we had time to study the subject of faith, which we don't tonight, you would find out that through the Bible, it's faith that honors God, and God honors faith.
Amen.
I doubt very seriously, and I'm saying I doubt very seriously if we know very much about biblical, scriptural faith and the doctrine of what faith really is tonight. And maybe in these next 30 or 40 minutes that the Lord will allow me to preach to you, I hope that God will help me to bring my message on this subject of faith. If we had time to go through the Bible, you can turn back to chapter number 14 and verse number 31 for one reference tonight. The Bible said 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. This is the Apostle Peter, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If we had time to go through the Bible, I could show you where there are different measures of faith throughout the Word of God. In one instant, Jesus said to saved people, how is it that you have no faith? He's not talking about saving faith. He's talking about living faith. In my text in Matthew 14:31, Jesus rebuked the Apostle Peter and said, O ye of little faith. And so Peter had a little bit of faith. And he comes to this lady in Matthew 15, verse number 28, and the Bible said she was a woman of great faith. There's no faith, and there's little faith, and there's great faith. And if you would learn to let God develop great faith in your life and in my life, it is no telling what God might do for us. Faith moves the hand of God. And in this text tonight, we have a little Gentile woman. Really, she's a type of the church. I'm not going to get in that aspect of the message tonight. But this little Gentile woman is a type of the church. She didn't get her name in Hebrews chapter 11. She didn't get her name recorded in the Bible. We really don't know who she was, but Jesus said she was a woman of great faith. And it was her faith that touched the heart of God, and Jesus turned unto her, and he said, Old woman, great is thy faith. Notice what he said after that. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Here's how God dealt with me. If the Lord Jesus was to stand in the pulpit of Pleasant View Baptist Church tonight, in our presence, and he would say unto me, as well as unto you, as thou faith be, so be it unto you. Or as thy faith be, so be it unto you. Whatever your faith will allow me to do for you, that's what I would do. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I wonder what God could do in this congregation tonight if the Lord would say, be it unto thee as thou wilt. I've got things in my heart I've been praying about, and I believe with all of my heart God's going to do it. Now you may have a daughter that's vexed with a demonic spirit. You may have a son that's lost. You may have family that are on their way to a crisis eternity. And tonight, if we, by faith, could touch the heart of God, I believe God could turn that situation 180 degrees around. Faith does turn the heart of God and touch the heart of God and move the heart of God. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And if you went down through heroes of the book of Hebrews, the heroes in chapter 11, you would find a man by the name of Abel. He's the first hero in chapter 11. Abel worshipped by faith. He had faith in a bloody sacrifice, and he worshipped God.
the next man in Hebrews 11 is a man by the name of Enoch. And the Bible said Enoch walked by faith. And so Abel worshipped by faith, and Enoch walked by faith. And then you go down to the third character, and he's a man by the name of Noah. And Noah worked by faith and built an ark to the saving of his house. And the next man will be Father Abraham, who went out not knowing where he went. And we could go right down where Abraham went by faith, like the preacher sang a while ago. And David and Gideon and Samson, they warred by faith. And so you go down through Hebrews chapter number 11, and you find the heroes of faith. This lady didn't get her name recorded in there, but God said she was a woman of great faith. Three things about faith in Hebrews 11:1. We have the confidence of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We have faith's confidence, we have faith's substance, and we have faith's evidence in Hebrews chapter 11:1. In Hebrews chapter 11:1, the Bible said, now faith is, and that is a present tense verb. Faith is always present tense. It's not what happened yesterday, that's fact. It's not what's going to happen out in tomorrow, that may be future. But tonight, how is your faith on this Sunday night, October the 25th? Faith is always present tense. That's why in my text tonight, I'm going to expound that check the text if the Lord will help me tonight. But faith is always present tense. And I hope before you leave this place tonight that your faith will be so increased that you could hear Jesus say, what will thou? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What would you ask him to do if he will allow you to do that tonight? Let me, I'm laying a little bit of foundation. I'll get through my text in just a little bit. I think we all know from hearing Bible preaching, if we're saved tonight, the Bible said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you're saved by faith. I think that is elementary. I think that is the bedrock of your salvation. Of course it is. But after you get saved by grace through faith, then the Bible said in Romans 1, 17, as well as three other places in your Bible, the just shall live by faith. If we can learn to live by faith, it is no telling what we can see God do from now to the rapture in these perilous times in which we're living. After you get saved, the just shall live by faith. And then the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so you learn to live by faith, you learn to walk by faith, and then on out yonder, the Bible said in 1 John 5, 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we start by faith, we live by faith, we walk by faith, we pray by faith, I preach by faith, and faith is a victory in your life. So I hope you'll get a hold of that tonight. I thought about illustration after illustration in the Bible. In Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He become God's little sheep by faith. And the Bible said, he leadeth me beside the still waters, caused me to lay down in the green pasture. You know the story. That is faith's first steps. That is faith's further steps. And then he said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is faith's final step. And so you learn to live by faith and you walk by faith. That's what this little lady did. And I could go on, and I don't want to bore you with a little with my foundation. Let me do a little bit of exposition in this text, and you stay with me. I believe I'm going to preach the Bible. So look at her in verse number 21 and 22. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. If you mark your Bible, I mark came out of the same coast. Here's a woman that came to Jesus, and she has a problem in her life. She's got a daughter that's vexed with a spirit. The devil's possess this little girl, even how old she was, and this mother takes that problem to Jesus. Here's the way I alliterated these scripture, brother pastor. I said she had a dilemma, and the dilemma was her family. Who here tonight doesn't have some kind of family problem, whether it's a physical problem or a domestic problem or a lost family member, somebody you love that's dying without God. We all have dilemmas in our family. And so this little lady had a dilemma in her family. So I marked down, first of all, she had a dilemma in her family. But I want you to notice her diligence. She came to Jesus and she prayed to Jesus, and here's what she said. She said, "Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. And Lord, have mercy upon me." Notice now, she was diligent. She didn't turn away from me. She said, "Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. And Lord, have mercy upon me." If it had been some of us, we'd have quit the first time that we called upon Him. But she was diligent. I will show that to you, how important that is, in just a moment. Her diligence was her faithfulness. My son and I got to preach together here a few weeks ago, and my son said something I thought was astounding. But he said this: when you don't have enough faith to honor God, God will honor your faithfulness. This little lady come to the Lord, and her daughter didn't get healed immediately like that, but she was still faithful, and Jesus honored her faithfulness. And when you get from verse 21 down to verse number 28, there is something that has transpired in there, and she becomes a woman of great faith, and faith, neighbors, what delivered her daughter from the despair that she was in. So she was not only had a dilemma, but she was diligent, and then she saw some deliverance, and she was delighted, of course, I think, when her daughter got made whole. But here's my message, and I can preach every one of those. I want to preach on the developing of her faith. She's got a problem. She brings the problem to Jesus, and there's some delay in that amount of time there. And all of that time, here's what Jesus was doing. He was developing her faith. He was increasing her faith. And when she got down to verse 27, verse number 28, he said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole. You may come to the Lord and you don't have the faith. I'm going to have to prove that, some of you. You're looking to me like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. And I'm going to prove to you sometime, when you don't have enough faith to honor God, He will honor your faithfulness, and your faith will begin to increase. I could quote all the verses to you, but you might want to turn to one or two of them. In Luke 17:5, here's what Jesus said when the disciples came to Him. Really, the Bible said the apostles came to Him, and they asked Him this, or made this statement: "Lord, increase our faith." Here are the 12 apostles, and God had given them that apostolic power, and they had chosen them out to be a representative for Him in that transition period, and that's another message in itself. But here's what they said to Jesus in Luke 17:5: "Lord, increase our faith." So if their faith needs to be increased, brother pastor, how much more does my faith need to be increased? How much more does your faith need to be increased? If you have time, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 10. I'll get you to mark this verse in your Bible. And this is what I'm preaching to you about tonight. This little lady come from whatever amount of faith she had, and the verse number 27 and 28, and became a woman of great faith, and her faith touched the heart of God, and Jesus granted her request. And I believe tonight, if we can learn what she learned, and if we would allow the Lord to develop in us what He developed in her, we would be men, women, boys, and girls of great faith. And we would see the hand of God move, neighbor, as a result of that faith. Faith again moves the hand of God. Amen. Faith touches the heart of God. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him." Here's a perfect example of that in this little Gentile Gentile woman. I'm not preaching a doctrinal message. I'm not preaching a dispensational message. I'm preaching a little practical message on faith tonight. And God said in Hebrews 11, all of those heroes back there, they were diligent in their faith. That's why they accomplished great things for God. And Jesus used this little woman. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, for the sake of time, verse 10. Paul said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Why, Paul? And perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let me ask you this tonight. Would you admit, as well as I have to admit, I've been saved for 43 years and been preaching 40 years. Read this Bible through. I read it daily. I'm a Bible student. But my faith has to be perfected. What God does through experience it, like this lady had, my pastor, God is perfecting her faith. So allow Him to do that in your life. Maybe tonight, and maybe in this meeting, God would take your little mustard seed faith and they would bless that faith and increase that faith, and they would develop that faith until it would be a faith that could astound you and astound people around you as they see God honor the faith that you have. So your faith has to be perfected. Your faith can be lacking. Paul said, I want to perfect that is lacking in your faith. Here's what Brother James said in James chapter 1 and verse number 6. James said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, tossed with a wind, blowing with a wind and tossed. Don't let that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. I'm telling you, we got a lot of folks tonight that never receive hardly anything, very little at all, from a God that wants to bless us and God that wants to reward us for our faith, and we don't have enough faith to believe God and trust God. Let me ask you this tonight, I'll try to hurry. We believe God can do anything, but do you believe He should do it tonight?
Amen.
We believe nothing's impossible with God because the Bible said that. But let me ask you this. We know He can do it, but do we believe that He will?
Right.
We know He can. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. But do we think that He'll really do it? Well, we have a good example in Matthew 15 and verse number 21 through 28. Here's a little lady that came to Jesus and she said, I know He can and I believe He will. And so down through that text, He develops her faith into that great faith and her daughter is delivered, and no doubt she shouted and praised God for what He done in her life. Let me give you four or five things and we'll go tonight. Verse number 22, the Bible said, behold, pay attention, a woman of Canaan came out of the same country. I mark Cain in verse number 22a. If you mark your Bible, you might want to mark it. Here's what I said about her. She approached him and he didn't respond to her. What's he doing, preacher? She came to the Lord and he did not respond to her. Look at it. In verse number 22, the Bible said she came out of the same coast. She cried unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. I got 2 points I want to give you out of that verse. First of all, she came to him and he did not respond to her. What do you do and what do I do when we come to the Lord and we get no response whatsoever? What would you do tonight? The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Amen. Well, here comes a little Gentile woman. She's got a care. It's her daughter. And she's got a care concerning her family. And she brings that care to Jesus and he doesn't even respond to her.
Yeah.
What have you done? Somebody get mad when a preacher don't shake your hand.
Well,
he didn't even shake my hand. I think he didn't even care if I was at church or not. That's exactly with 1,000 times greater emphasis on what Jesus did to this little lady.
Amen.
She's a broken-hearted mother, tears running down her face, and she said, Jesus, I've come to you. He didn't respond. She may have heard him preach. In Matthew chapter 11, here's what Jesus preached. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, the yoke is easy and the burden light." But here's a promise that he made in Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me if you're labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So here comes a broken-hearted mother, tears running down her face. She comes to Jesus, labored and heavy laden, and brings that care to him, and there he doesn't respond to her. What would your faith do in an instance like that?
Right. Amen.
What would you do if he didn't respond to you?
She may have been back in Matthew chapter 9. There's two incidents in Matthew chapter number 9. That's where the woman had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she tried all the doctors, spent all she had, and rather grew worse, wasn't any better. You know the story. But she may have had an encounter with this little woman I'm talking about. And this lady with the issue of blood, she said, "I had an issue of blood 12 years. I thought I was going to die. I talked to all the doctors, went to all the special people I could see. None of them could help me. And one day I came to Jesus, and I touched the hem of His garment, and I was made completely whole. And I hadn't had one problem since Jesus touched me. And I believe if you'd go to Him with this problem you got, I believe He'd do the same for you." So that woman said, "Praise God. That sounds pretty good to me." And maybe there's another instance in that Bible. It's the wife of Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is a 12-year-old girl. 3:12 in the verse, Matthew chapter number 9. And so Jairus goes to see Jesus, you know the story, and said, "Come home with me. My daughter is at the point of death." But while he's talking to Jesus, word came, said, "Jairus, she's already dead." And that's when the woman in between there touched the garment, was made whole, and Jairus takes Jesus back to his house with him. And the Bible said Jesus intervened and put some of the people forward, and he entered in where the little girl was, preacher, and he said, "Maid, I say it'll be arrived." And she got up. You remember the story? And maybe Miss Jairus was teaching at a ladies' meeting, and she said, "I want to tell all you ladies something. I had a little 12-year-old girl, and she was sick unto death. As a matter of fact, she died. And Jesus came into our house and touched my daughter and raised her up." And that woman sitting back there, her eyes got big, her ears were hearing, and she said, "Well, if Jesus healed that lady with an issue of blood for 12 years she had, and he raised up Jairus' daughter that was really dead, why, surely he can help my daughter." Yeah. And so she brings that trouble to Jesus, and he don't respond to her.
I like to alliterate it. I like the way God helped me to get it down. She approached him, and he didn't respond to her. Look at verse 22 again. The Bible said she not only came, but she cried. I mark this. She addressed him, and he refused her. She not only came to him, going to give her care to him, he didn't respond. Now she asked him, and she cries unto him. And David, the Bible said he answered her not a word. He didn't even say no. Some of you have prayed a little bit, and you come to Jesus, and you claim the promise in the Word of God. The preacher preached to you, and she may have told Jesus, said, "Lord, I read where King David had pinned down in the 50th Psalm, verse number 15, that call upon me in a time of trouble, I'll answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And so, preacher, she comes to Jesus, and she calls, said, "Lord Jesus, help me. My daughter is grievously sick. And I read in the Bible, your inspired word. I read where King David said, if I would call upon you in a time of trouble, you would answer me. And Lord, I will glorify you." Maybe you didn't see me a while ago when I came to you. The crowd was big. And Lord, I tried to get your attention, but you didn't see me. I'm asking now, Lord, I know you hear me. I want you to heal my daughter for me. And Jesus answered her not a word. I read 2 Samuel where it said David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him.
I read in the Bible where it said, call upon me, and I'll answer thee, thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in time of trouble, and I'll deliver thee. God still answers prayer.
Yeah.
What's he doing in this woman's life? He pays her no attention. You would have thought he turned a deaf ear to her. She approached him, and she addressed him. No response. He didn't even say that. What do you do when you pray a prayer with tears in your eyes and Jesus doesn't answer? I wouldn't be surprised after praying at the moon table if some of you hadn't had a care, hadn't had a burden, hadn't had a labored and heavy laden, maybe a family member, whatever it might be, but you come to Jesus for that, and he refused, he didn't respond to you. You called and asked him to hear and answer your prayer, and he hadn't said a word, he hadn't said no, he hadn't said yes. You don't even know if he heard you or not.
Amen.
What's he doing in her life, preacher? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's developing her faith.
Amen.
You'll find that word there where Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, but I will come and see you face to face so I can perfect that that's lacking in your faith. That is the same word in Matthew 4:21, where Jesus passed by and Peter and James were washing their nets from a night fishing, and the Bible said they were mending, M-E-N-D-I-N-G, in your King James Bible, Matthew 4:21, they were mending their nets. That word mending there, they were perfecting their net. Their nets had gotten frayed. Their nets may have gotten torn. Their net got worn, was about to break. And about that time, they would have caught the biggest fish or the biggest load of fish that they could have ever caught. If they hadn't got their nets mended, their net would have broken and they would have lost the catch.
Right, right.
And so Jesus is not ignoring this woman. And Jesus is not being mean to this woman. There's not a mean bone in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God is love and Jesus is God incarnate.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is love. He's not ignoring this woman. He's not hateful and mean to this woman. He loves her and he's working in her life. And I don't know if we in this generation which we're living, if we have enough faith that we can trust God when he doesn't respond, and we can still trust him and believe him and love him when he doesn't answer our prayer. Do you love him that much to see him there when he can't track it and just have to trust him? And when you don't understand what he's doing, get a hold of this and hang on to it. He is too wise to make a mistake, and he loves you too much to do you wrong. And every promise in the Bible is true, and every one of them is yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. And God is hearing you. You just have to learn what he's doing and wait and see what God's doing in your life. I have prayed honest before God. I have got on my knees and prayed, and the Lord has answered my prayer before I got up. And I have got on my knees, and I have fasted and prayed, and it seemed like the heavens have turned to grass, and it seemed like God is not here, and the world and the flesh and the devil will tell you that Jesus does not care, but I'm telling you, he does care. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. He cares for me. He cares for you. But I'm telling you what he's doing in some of your lives here tonight. He's a working and a perfecting, and they were trying to take the waver out of your faith, and he's trying to perfect that that's lacking in your faith, and you're going to have to get a hold of the promise of God and be like this little lady. Here's what the Bible said again in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. He that cometh to God, she did, must believe, she did, that he is a rewarder, she was, but here's the secret to it. The them that diligently seek him. Have you got enough faith where you can diligently seek the Lord when it seems like he doesn't care and it seems like he hadn't heard? Have you still got enough faith where you can diligently hold on to the promise of God?
Amen.
Get a hold, I'm telling you, faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not a hope so, maybe so, faith so. Here's what real faith is. It's neither obedience to a promise in the Word of God, but it doesn't matter what the consequences are. You get a hold of the promise of
And you hold on to that promise, and God will move in His time. And that's the whole key to what this text is tonight. Here's how God dealt with me, and I hope that I can get across to you what God got across to me. She approached Him, and He didn't respond. She addressed Him, and He refused to hear her. Look at verse number 25. It even gets better, or worse, or deeper, or whatever kind of adjective you might. I want to try to describe it with. If I can get my pages on the hook, look in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 25. Then He didn't hear. He didn't respond. He didn't. He refused. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshipped Him and said, "Lord, help me." Most of us would have done got out of the boat. Most of us would have already quit. She came, He didn't respond. She called Him and He didn't. He refused her. And now, verse number 25, she comes back again. And I like to put it this way. She worships Him. Out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, she worships the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I believe that's the answer." Surely, if she'll come and come back, and she'll call, and she'll cry, and she'll bow her head and her heart, probably her knee, and worship God, surely Jesus is going to answer her prayer. Well, look at verse number 26. But He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." She approached Him. He didn't respond. She asked Him for alliteration's sake. She addressed Him. He refused her. Now she adores Him. She said, "Lord, I love You. I don't understand what You're doing. I don't know why You didn't respond when I came to You. I don't know why You didn't answer me when I talked to You. But I'm going to tell you something, Jesus. I love You." You got that kind of faith? This church got that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith that gets a job done.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith that's going to touch the heart of God. It's not just a little shallow stuff. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I believe You're going to watch over the angels. It's going to take care of my soul." Well, that's good praying for the elementary, and it's good for we adults. Well, I'm telling you this. She came, she called, and she came back in verse number 25, and she adored Him, and she worshipped Him, and she recognized His Lordship, and she begged Him to help her. And neighbor, in verse number 26, notice what He said to her. He reminded her where she came from and what she was. He said, "It is not me." Here's what He said. "You are a Gentile lady, and it is not right for me to take the bread and to give it to dogs."
Right.
She adored Him, Bill. He reminded her, rebuked her. Really, I think He rebuked her.
Right.
What would I have done? What would you have done if you had been in her shoes? Did you quit on already?
Yes.
Have you quit praying for that daughter, that son? I had an old Free Will Baptist grandmother. I believe she could get saved and lost and die and go to hell. She didn't have a good church, good preacher like we've had. Get a root and ground in the Bible. She believed God, and she prayed for my dad and drank, and everything goes wrong with liquor in the home. That's the kind of mess I was raised in. And my grandmother prayed and begged God to save my daddy and her son, and to save us seven children. I was a baby of seven. And neighbor, my dad saved me in heaven. My mom saved me in heaven. And all seven of us children saved. We've been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And three of the boys said they've been called to prison.
Amen.
That was an old Free Will Baptist grandmother. Had her hair balled up on the back of her head. And got a hold of God. Made a promise of God. And would not let go.
Amen.
The more dad drank, the more she prayed. The louder we five boys got, the more she prayed.
Amen.
The more troubles in our family looked like we was all going to die and go to hell, the more that grandmother prayed, and every last one of us are saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
She is a woman of great faith.
Amen.
She came, He didn't answer.
She cried. He didn't respond to her. She bowed down and adored him, and he turned around and said, "It is not lawful, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and to give it to you dogs." Here's the answer. Verse number 27. And she said, "True, Lord." She agreed with him, and he rewarded her. Now you listen, let me preach about 10 minutes and I'm through. Some of you have come to the Lord, you don't think he's even heard you. Some of you come to the Lord with a broken heart and the world, the flesh, and the devil's told you Jesus doesn't care about you. The devil's told you, "Why don't you quit? The church don't care. Preacher don't care. Even God doesn't care about your father. You're just going to have to weather it out yourself. You're going to have to wear it out." But here's what you're going to have to do tonight. You're going to have to agree with what God does is right. He is incapable of doing wrong. When you can't understand it, you just have to faith. You may believe it. He is all wise. He's all powerful. And I know he loves me. I know he's my child. His child. I know he's my father. And I know what he said is true. In spite of circumstances or consequences, I'm holding on with the promise of God. You'll be able to see a picture of this little lady. And verse number 27, she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She said, "Lord, you told the truth. I know I'm not worthy if you looked at my tears. I know I'm not worthy if you responded to my prayer. I know I'm not worthy if you doing anything for me. But Lord, would you please help me?" Here's what I think the Lord is teaching this little Gentile woman. It's not what we do, or it's not who we are, or it's not what we may have accomplished in our life. All that God does is because of Jesus. It's not because of who we are, or for our crown, or whatever we do. He doesn't do it for our sake. He does it for Jesus' sake. And if you would get that in your heart tonight, and that's, I think, what Jesus meant when he said, "Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name," but he said, "I'm giving you a blank check, and I am signing that check, and whatsoever you ask of Father in my name, he will do it." I think some of us are praying, and we're praying thinking God's going to answer our prayer because of who we are, or because of the situation or circumstances we find ourselves in, and we say, "Surely God's going to help me because of where I'm at or who I am." That is not why God answers prayer. God answers prayer because of Jesus and the shed blood that He shed on Calvary, that He saved you by the grace of God, and it still would not be lawful for God to do anything outside the bonds of the Calvary and the love of God that He shed abroad there. He's going to answer our prayer because of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you listening to me now? Oh, that's the way God dealt with me about this scripture. Here's the answer, and I'm through. Look at verse number 28. Then, and I circled then this afternoon at the motel. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice the timing. In then and the very hour in verse number 28. Here's how God dealt with me about this scripture, preacher. God heard that woman when she came to him. And Jesus knew she was coming before she ever came. And Jesus knew that little girl was vexed with a devil spirit possessing her before that ever happened. He knows everything. Amen. But I'm telling you, he's a working. He's perfecting her faith. He's trying to take that waver, that doubt out of her life. And later as he's working in there, he brings her up to the perfect time and the very hour where he can be glorified. And here's how God answers prayer. When God answers prayer, he answers it because he might be glorified, not you or I. I have prayed prayer that people wanted me to pray, preacher. And if God had answered that prayer when I prayed it, I would have got more pride, got more glory than God did. Are you understand what I'm saying? If some folks give their burden to the pastor and the pastor prays for you, If God answers that prayer, sometime He does, but I'm telling you, if He did, some of them, preacher, they would have patted me on the back and said that Brother Raines can touch God and pray the presence and the power of God down. God answers his prayer, and I would have been glorified more than Jesus would.
All right.
Jesus answers prayer at the right time. Then He answered the prayer. At the very hour He answered prayer, when He would be glorified and not the woman that was making the prayer.
Amen.
We're praying for revival. I'd love to see God shake this place.
Amen.
I prayed at the motel. I just love to see the Holy Ghost, and I know what dispensation I'm in, but I'd love to see the Holy Ghost just breathe over this place.
Amen.
And may the power of God and the Spirit of God move again as we have seen in days gone by.
Amen.
And see real, genuine revival come.
Amen.
I believe He can with all of my heart. I know He can.
Amen.
But I'll tell you when He's going to do it. He's going to do it, but it'll glorify Him and not glorify the evangelist, or glorify the preacher, or glorify somebody else.
Amen.
God is a God of perfect timing.
Amen.
From the Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Jesus was born the very day He was supposed to be born.
Amen.
In the very place He was supposed to be born, as a lamb in a cow stall. Amen.
Amen.
He died on the day the Passover lamb was to be slain. He is our Passover.
Yes.
Amen.
Buried this body in 3 days. I'll raise it up. He got up on perfect time.
Amen.
He ascended back to heaven on perfect time. Sent the Holy Ghost back on perfect time. And He's going to come again in perfect time. We're not going to delay it. We're not going to usher it in.
Amen.
He will come and will not tarry. God is always perfect in His time. He's not a Baptist, I can tell you that. He's always on time. Jesus was never a minute early or a moment late. He is always on time.
Amen.
Now you listen, I'm preaching on faith. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to save your grandmother. He's going to save your mom and dad. He's going to touch your body. He's going to meet that need, whatever it is, in His perfect timing and not ours. Have you got enough faith that you can get a hold of the promise of the Word of God, and when you don't understand it, when you have cast your burdens on Him, you have cried, you have come to Him, you just keep on worshiping, keep on worshiping, I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to keep doing all three until the very hour comes by and He'll turn to you and say, "Be it unto thee as thou wilt."
Amen.
Have you given up? Have you given up? Has your faith grown weak? I got a message on the Apostle Peter. I don't know if I preached it here or not. I still got just a few minutes. I believe Peter's faith got weak when he's in that storm, Matthew 14. I believe he looked around and he said, "This stinking boat's going to sink. Everybody on here's going to drown." And I think I'm getting out of here. He had great faith. He walked along. I'll give him a trophy with walking water. But I tell you, Jesus rebuked him, said, "Oh, you have little faith." And I put him right back out where he got out of the will of God. Put him right back in the boat.
Amen.
I know preachers have done that. I know family after family that has done that. They came to Jesus. They cried to Jesus. They were worshiping Jesus. And Jesus did not work in their little test tube. And did not work on their little time clock, and therefore they threw up their hands and said, "He don't care about it." He does care about you. He's working on that situation. He's doing more than I've seen than He is doing what you think you see.
Amen.
Amen. Have you got enough faith to trust Him in the dark?
Are you listening? Well, this new generation don't know what film is, but film is like faith. It's developed in the dark. These were dark moments in this lady's life. She had a genuine care. Her heart's broken. She's a broken-hearted mother that knew Jesus and loved Jesus, knew He was Lord, knew He was the Son of David, and knew He could heal.
but he didn't heal or didn't respond to it till the very right time. And when he did, her problem was solved in an instant.
Amen.
Jesus can take your situation. It doesn't matter what it is. If you put a thousand things into it, doesn't matter what it is. When the time is right, when he chooses, all he has to do is speak the word and it's done. Your marriage, your family, your children, your church, whatever it is, it does not matter to God. God is not limited. Oh, God, I like anybody.
Would you look in Hebrews 6? Let me read you 2 verses 9 through. Hebrews chapter number 6. I'm preaching on great faith.
Hebrews chapter 6. Here this little lady experienced exactly why I get ready to do it in you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 12, for the sake of time. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. I mark faith and patience inherits the promise. Look at verse 13. For when God could promise, God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, multiplying, I will multiply thee. Look at verse 15. So, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Some of us don't have enough faith for our patience to endure for God to answer our prayer. I'm telling you the truth. Here's what Jesus said when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the way we pray. Thy will be done for me. My will be done for me. Not your will, Lord. I'm interested in my will being done, rather your will being done. Jesus knew the very moment he wanted to heal that little girl. He knew the very moment he wanted to raise up Jairus' daughter. He knew the very moment he, after 12 years, he wanted to touch that lady with the issue of blood. He knew the very moment, and he always works on perfect timing. And you're going to have to learn through the faith and patience you inherit the promise.
Amen.
He used Abraham there in Hebrews chapter 6, 12, 13, 14, 15. He promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a son of your own seed, not Hagar, not the work of the flesh. I'm going to give you a son out of your own loins. And it was at least, the best I could tell, 25 years before Isaac was ever born. Abraham's faith got weak, and we know the mess that's going on over there in the East today because of Abraham's foolishness.
Amen.
We've inherited today. We've got all that mess going on because of Abraham and Hagar, and that's another message, and God knew all about that. But his faith was weak, and he didn't have enough patience to wait for God to bless that 100-year-old man. When he got 100 years old, and Abraham couldn't have done a thing, and Sarah couldn't have conceived, we know that, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But when God could get the glory, he touched Sarah's womb and touched Abraham, and they brought forth a child into this world. Through faith and patience, they inherited the promise. We got multitudes of people in our Baptist churches that don't have enough faith, and they don't have any patience hardly at all, and that's why we're not seeing God move.
Right.
I've been on the road 3 years. I claim Psalm 71:18. When I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not, until I've shown thy strength and thy glory to this generation which is to come. I'm praying somewhere, Brother Bill, the Holy Ghost will breathe on a church in God's perfect timing, and we'll see revival again.
Amen.
But it's only going to come through faith and patience. Some of you got a little faith. Some of you may have no faith. And God's, what He's doing is perfecting your faith. And when He gets that faith perfected, He'll turn to you one day and He'll say, as thou wilt, be it unto you. Let me ask, could He say that to this church tonight? Could He say that to Pleasant View Baptist Church? As your faith be. You say, preacher, I'm trying to live right and I'm praying. Yeah, but are we, through faith and patience, going to inherit His promise? closest thing I have seen to revival in my 43 years happened at our home church at Pleasant View Baptist Church back in 1976. It took faith and it took patience. And in God's perfect timing, and I could tell you a story, some of you wouldn't believe it, but I was praying in the altar there by myself one day at the church, and the back doors of the church swung, swinging doors. I thought somebody ran out of the church. I thought there was a thief in there. When I was in there praying, when I got down to pray, he got up and ran out the door. And I ran to the back of the church and looked up and down the road, and wasn't anybody there. And the Holy Ghost said, "Didn't anybody run out? God's decided to move in." God turned that ministry around. Folks started getting saved. Young people started getting saved. And I counted, and I, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was sitting there one morning, counted over 100, counting your pastor and his family, over 100 of them out on the mission field now pastoring churches, because God in His perfect timing breathed on that little church. It wasn't because of my ability. It wasn't because of my power. It was because God chose to move in His perfect timing.
Amen.
Could He say to you personally, could He say to your family, could He say to this church, "As Thou wilt, be it unto you"? Her daughter was made whole.
Amen.
See, increase in your faith. You remember when y'all come to church, Bill, and praying about children, praying about having a baby, praying about God to bless you with a family? Look, sitting around here tonight.
Amen.
Margaret, Elizabeth, and Joel. I guess the Lord said three's enough or whatever, but God still answers prayer.
Amen.
God still honors faith.
Amen.
Faith still honors God, but it's in His perfect time. And would you bow your head with me? Our song leader and pastor's going to come. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Her faith endured a refusal. Her faith endured no response. Church, are you listening? Her faith endured a rebuke. Her faith endured being reminded who she was and where she came from. But her faith was rewarded, and God answered her prayer. What position, what point in those little 5 points, where are you at tonight? You in that first one? Have you come to Him? If you haven't come tonight, bring your burden to Him. Have you cried? You have not because you asked not, James said. Have you been rebuked? Preacher, I got down and prayed and asked the Lord. He reminded me about something in my past. Well, He wants you to take care of. He's perfecting. I tried to worship Him, Lord, preacher, and it just seemed like if He doesn't care. He does care. He'll reward you when your faith is perfected. Father, I love You. I pray You'd help with the message tonight. Lord, burn it into our heart. Please help us know the faith is substance of things hoped for. May somebody hold on to hope tonight. May they get a hold of that evidence, Lord, and claim it for Jesus tonight. And in Your perfect timing, I claim, Lord, the salvation of their family. I claim the physical need to be met. And Lord, in Jesus' name, for financial problems, domestic problems, Lord, we believe You can send revival. And in Your perfect timing, through faith and patience, Lord, we want to inherit that promise. Will Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Lord, help the church tonight to be sensitive to You. Help the pastor to know the mind of the Lord. And we'll thank You and love You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand together tonight. And Brother Jones is going to come around, and we're going to have an invitation hymn tonight. You know where you're at tonight concerning your faith. Are you trusting the Lord, waiting on the Lord? One of the hardest lessons that I believe I've ever had to learn, and I'm still working on it, is wait on God. And you just got to believe His promise and keep waiting for the Lord to bring it to pass. And I've seen Him do it enough to know that He will and to know that He can. And he's increased my faith down through the years by doing that. And I'm not arrived, hadn't arrived yet. And the preachers are preaching. I'm saying to myself, oh me, I need to pray. I need to trust God more. I need to wait on the Lord more.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of times we get down and pray, even confessing our sins, and it seems like the Lord's not listening, but he always is. And he just wants us to trust him, trust his word. That's what living by faith is, trusting in him completely, and not in our feelings and not in our abilities, but in him completely. Amen. And so we're going to have an invitation song tonight. And you, if you need to come and pray, you come tonight and tell God what's on your heart. Amen. He does care. And called Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. He cared for that little woman the preacher's preaching about. He cared for her. But she needed to get to the right place in her life where she could trust him with all of her heart, no matter what he done, no matter what he decided, and for her life. Amen. Let's obey the Lord, as we say.
Page 157.
appreciate the message with all my heart.